The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Lyndon Yates, Woody Page, Tim Kalashaw, Israel Gutierrez. The playoff atmosphere in New York last night, palpable, full of palp. Are the Yankees all good now? And calling out your team on Twitter, Mets owner Steve Cohen elevating it to an art form. Let's go around the horn.
Giancarlo.
Palpable.
It's Mike. Okay, it's Mike.
The Red Sox were 10.5 games up on the Yankees on July 6th. Last night, a sweaty, tight doubleheader sweep for New York. Yankees nosing out in front of Boston for the day. It's the first time in 3 months the Yankees have been in a playoff spot, so there's that. And with the hopeful return of Anthony Rizzo from COVID, a wonder about how to keep everybody hot and happy, Luke Voit. I was top 10 in the MVP last year. Great player for this organization the last 3 years. I'm not going down. I want to play. Obviously, I know tougher with Rizzo, but I deserve to play just as much as he does. Clinton Yates, around the horn to you. Have the Yankees turned the corner? And can they keep everybody happy here as they turn that corner?
I think they've done a little bit more than turn the corner. This is a hot baseball team. They're 13-4 in August alone. They're 26-11 since Independence Day. But the thing that's kept them together has not just been the fact that they're running more bases. The big complaint about them was that all they do is hit yams, and that's the only way that they can produce offense. That starting pitching and their entire staff is an under 3 ERA in that time. They've kept it together on the mound. And that's why this team has managed to stay in games, and that's why they're back and have erased that deficit against the Red Sox. It's been very impressive the latter half of the summer for the pitch run.
And do you think keeping everybody happy there? You know, I mean, Voit at DH for first base, Rizzo, Stanton, will he have to play the outfield? Is everybody going to stay upright and healthy?
Look, to me, you stick with a hot hand. Voit is the guy you put in the batter's box. This isn't much of a question to me at all.
Woody Page, I'll bring you in here, what you're seeing with the New York Yankees now.
Yeah, well, you sort of touched upon it. You can keep them happy, but can you keep them healthy? Everybody on that team seems to have the adjective oft injured in front of their name. Stanton, Judge, I mean, Rizzo, goes there, and then he's on COVID-19. Voit's been on injured reserve 3 times this year. That seems to be the problem that the Yankees have had not only this year, but in previous seasons of the last 3 or 4. So I think you can keep them all happy by what you're saying. There's 5 guys. There are 5 different positions. If you include DH, then they can all play all the time. Have they turned the corner? Yes. Did they outlive my expectations? No, I didn't have much expectations for them at the beginning of the season, but they passed Boston. But guess what? Tampa Bay's still out there. The Jays are looming right behind them. I think this is going to go down to the last couple of weeks in baseball, in the baseball season, whether or not they even make the playoffs.
They just made it into playoff position for the first time in 3 months. Tim Kalashaw, have the Yankees turned the corner?
Was really hoping to get Woody's take on the Orioles as he ran through the division there. Here's what they've done. They've won these games. They've gone 13-4, not just battling injuries like Chapman's elbow and other things, but as Woody did touch on in that expansive answer, a lot of COVID issues since the All-Star break. Judge right out of the break. Yesterday was Garrett Cole's first game in 2 weeks. Montgomery is coming back. The Voit thing, that's a little shaky when he says, I was top 10 in the MVP voting last year. I deserve to play. He has been hurt a lot this year. He's been hot lately, but they traded for Rizzo for a reason. I think there's enough at-bats to go around, but Rizzo needs to get hit.
And Gutierrez.
Well, everybody's talking about their hitting. You're talking about what to do with Voit, and we're asking if they turn the corner. It seemed like they've turned the corner. If you look just from July 6th, having a 3.14 ERA, which is almost 2 points better than the Red Sox, and they've made up, 10 games in the standings there. So turning the corner, I believe, has happened. You talk about Voit and you talk about what they can do. They can keep him happy. They can put Gallo in center field, put Giancarlo in, back in the outfield, and then put Voit in the DH slot and keep Rizzo at first base. They can make that happen. And when we talk about the injuries they've overcome, it's beneficial in two ways. One, it's sort of a rallying cry. Hey, we got over injuries. We got over COVID. Look at us now. But also getting healthy at the right time. They can have an abundance of riches going into a potential postseason, and it could be a good thing. So as long as you can maneuver pieces around and keep guys happy enough, I think this is probably a team that's turn the corner and will continue to sort of solidify their playoff.
Clinton, you broke down their wins and losses. I mean, yesterday was a sweep of a doubleheader. It could have easily gone the other way. This team grounds into double plays with the bases loaded like no other team in baseball history. I mean, so factor that in the rounding of the corner here.
I think there is an element of playing for Boone's job that this clubhouse and this dugout understands. The pressure is on in New York City, and they are performing. Give them credit.
Are you saying an apology is coming, forthcoming for Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone after all the heat they were taking in early July? Kalishaw, are you giving an apology here?
I don't think it's time for an apology just yet. They've caught the Red Sox. Let's wait on that a second. The thing they don't have, the good Yankee teams of late have been a seventh, eighth, ninth inning, just shut down closers and setup guys. And right now, Jonathan Loaisiga is their best hope.
Yeah, every inning.
We're going to have to see if that works.
Late in games has been a third rail. And every at bat, they get loaded bases every other inning. And they're grounding into double plays. Okay. I think we'll have a chance to talk about them in the next 8 weeks a little bit more. We're going to move on now. News of the night from baseball.
Now what do you do with Shohei Ohtani?
Be very, very careful. It's been brought to my attention, and I sincerely apologize if I offended anybody, especially anybody in the Asian community.
That's Baseball Hall of Famer Jack Morris calling the Tigers-Angels game yesterday, and Shohei Ohtani. Some of you have covered Jack Morris before. You've all discussed Shohei Ohtani before. And we've all been witness to the existence and growth of Asian and Asian American hate speech. So for this discussion, we've also phoned in our June Lee as well. June is just off the plane on assignment. We're thankful he could be here with us. June, please, you can start anywhere you like.
Yeah, I think there's two things happening here. And I first want to address Jack Morris's apology, quote unquote, specifically, because, you know, when you're saying, if I'm sorry if I offended anyone, you're not addressing the intent of what happened there. Because at the end of the day, when you're using an accent like that specifically with the Asian American community, with API people, the only intent in using that accent is to caricaturize someone. And that kind of perpetuates the perpetual foreigner thing that happens when, you know, Asian Americans don't feel like they're American. They're continually viewed as non-Americans. And so I think this speaks to a greater issue at large as well, because if you looked at how the story was covered after the fact, how, you know, newspapers and other media outlets were covering it as well, you know, there was a kind of refusal to label this as what it is, which is racism. It is, there was a lot of distancing. There was a lot of, you know, talk about a potentially offensive accent. Like, this was straight up something that was caricaturizing Shohei Ohtani, other Asian Americans. And it's been used to weaponize, it's been weaponized against Asian Americans for, you know, a really, really long time in this country. And so there's two things happening here. There is specifically, you know, Jack Morris doing that and the casual nature in which that accent was used, which I think just speaks to the casualness in which Asian racism is tossed around in America, but also the greater issue in how this was subsequently covered and how media outlets in particular were afraid to label this as what it is.
If I could follow up, June, Asian presence in Major League Baseball is not anything new. I mean, the 3 decades worth of all-star MVP caliber players in Major League Baseball. So when you hear it again in 2021, where are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think this speaks to why someone like Ichiro Suzuki and why someone like Shohei Ohtani are continually using translators to speak to the media, because they don't want to be characterized, and they also want to make sure that their words and their intentions are coming across as clearly as possible and as comfortably as possible, which is in their native tongue. And so I think this ties into just kind of the larger discussion that's been had around Shohei Ohtani this year and how the media hasn't been prepared to cover an Asian superstar in the way that Shohei Ohtani has taken over baseball and become the biggest story of the season.
Thank you for that, June. I want to get back to you in a second. Bring in Clinton Yates here.
I'll tell you this. I sat next to Jun Lee in the 2018 World Series. And this example, let me tell you something. During that series, a lot of people came to me straight up and said, who's that kid? And I told them exactly who he was. I point out that story because it indicates how much work we actually have to do in real time to make sure that things change. You can't just write a headline. You can't just describe what's going on. There are people in the game who are presenting the game to other people who actively do racist things on air. You have to be able to shout it out. This isn't just about Jack Morris. It's about the overall tone of what's going on. And I got to tell you, June, I really appreciate you coming on and say something about this because it's ever present and it sucks. I say that as a big baseball fan and I say that as an American overall.
Woody Page.
This is the third example, the third incident that's occurred this year since the All-Star game in regard to Asian Americans. Why does this continue to happen? Are these people so stupid that they can't figure out that you aren't making comments like that? Jack Morris was never a very pleasant person when he was playing, and he said a lot of ridiculous times as a pitcher about his All-Star, his All-Stars, his Hall of Fame, his teammates. So it was not that unexpected to me, but at least he apologized. But I don't like this. And I truly don't like this. I'm tired of people apologizing, saying, I'm sorry if I offended anybody. Of course you offended somebody, so never say that again. If you are going to make an apology, say, I'm sorry I offended people, not if I offended people.
Tim, when you consider what is insensitive on air versus what is racist on air, and you hear what happened last night, where do you land?
Well, I go back to something you touched on. And I'll just use Ichiro as the example. He had over 3,000 hits in this country after being, I think, a seven-time All-Star in Japan. The great players from Japan, from South Korea, from other Asian countries have been coming here for 25 years. Jack Morris knows this is nothing new. That's the best he can come up with. A guy who he should appreciate more than anybody can start an All-Star game as a pitcher after hitting in the home run derby the night before. Nobody else is close to having that kind of talent. And all you can do is go back to a lazy, expression. And we're real good in this country, not at learning other people's languages, but at making fun of people who take the time to learn our language. And that might be one of the biggest problems.
And Israel Gutierrez.
The first place I go, the first question I have is why folks feel licensed, feel this ability to do this, to say these, you know, to speak in this accent. And frankly, what the answer that usually comes to mind is there's a blind spot there. They don't understand. And if that's the feeling that you have, then yes, we need to bring attention to this constantly, more often, so it doesn't happen. Because, you know, do we feel like Jack Morris is being like overtly racist on open air? Probably not. He's probably just doesn't understand what he's saying and therefore being insulting and in a way racist. And so, you know, should we bring attention to it? Absolutely. Should we discuss it? Absolutely. And see if everybody's blind spots can be cleared. Because to me, I think there are way too many people who feel entitled or able to just speak in accents, in Asian accents, and feel like it's some sort of humorous thing instead of what it actually is.
June, I want to end on something that you landed on here, the culpability of the media. There were two other stories in the last week. Funchess with the Green Bay Packers making slight of the appearance of Asians and Asian Americans, and the Juventus women's soccer team as well doing the same in an image. You talked about media culpability and media not being as loud calling these things out. And I would ask you to just examine the coverage and the delivery of what you saw in the last week, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pablo Torre did a great job talking about this on the ESPN Daily podcast, where I think it's pretty evident that people don't care as much about this kind of stuff when it comes to Asian Americans. The coverage around Devin Funchess, I hadn't heard about it for almost 24 hours, and I had people texting me for days after the fact that people hadn't heard about because the media hadn't been covering with the same kind of intensity. And so it's imperative for not only, you know, us in the media, but also people who are following sports, people who are interested in this industry as a whole, to be constantly thinking about, you know, how to be more inclusive when talking about these issues and becoming more informed about these topics so you can call out these things and when all this stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here for us. And also, Jun Lee will be appearing on the Asian American Journalists Association's panel later this week as they have one of their great conferences speaking out and tackling the rise of AAPI hate crimes. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Thanks, Jun.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
It's buy or sell, and it's New York Giants owner John Mara.
We get kind of sick and tired of the taunting that does go on from time to time on the field.
He's on the competition committee. That's how he sees taunting. Some players heard those comments, called it corny. Alvin Kamara. It's darn rap music. Adrian Amos. Shut up and play. Tyrann Mathieu. Clint Yates, how do you hear it?
We who is how I hear it, because ain't no we in my household that has a problem with taunting. This feels like nothing but a stay in your place comment. We watch the games where these dudes risk their lives, so when they do good things, they can celebrate. Let them celebrate. It's supposed to be fun.
Woody Page?
It sounded like an old white man trying to put his moral values on younger people playing football.
Yes,
as if the officials don't have to, if the officials don't have enough to do, now they got to worry about whether the players are talking bad to each other, that the football's got enough problems that it can concern itself about what's going on the field. We can't even hear what's going on the field. We've never heard the taunting. I think it makes no sense whatsoever. They should reconsider it and dump that idea.
Tim Kalishaw.
I think the we in this case means we, the owners, sitting around the Biltmore Hotel in Phoenix before we head out to the golf course at the owners' meetings. We get tired of this topic. I think there's an element of a bit of a dog whistle from the Giants owner here that's being employed.
Israel Gutierrez.
100%. And there's a difference between trash talk and taunting. It gets to a point where it's taunting, but he's talking about trash talk, I believe. And in all these sports, when you get to this level, trash talk's part of the game. You try to get into the opponent's head. And so if it takes a little bit of flaunting, not too much, that's fine by me. I don't know who's sick of it. It's not people watching by me.
More from ownership. Mets owner Steve Cohen tweeting, it's hard to understand how professional hitters can be this unproductive. The best teams have a more disciplined approach. The slugging and OPS numbers don't lie. Would he buy or sell that from ownership?
I'm selling it. Once again, here we have proof that billionaires don't necessarily always be smart. I mean, we may get a kick out of what he's saying, and maybe the fans agree with him, but how is this going to go over in the locker room? How are the clubhouse guys going to say, really? Why is he talking about us? We're having enough problems as the Mets right now without an owner picking on us.
Tim Kalishaw?
At potentially great risk, I'm going to buy everything about this. For one, the owner did not tell the GM or the president or somebody beneath him to do this. He did it himself. Number two, he said what every Mets fan thinks about this team all season long. Why can't they hit the baseball?
So you're all right with an owner who is a call-in guest for WFAN. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
You know what doesn't help a major meltdown in an area like New York, by the way? The owner chiming in and making things worse. Like, Tim, the fans are already saying that. Do the players need to hear it from the owner, especially on Twitter? No, if you're going to say it to them, say it to their faces. The public stuff, I'm not a fan.
Clinton Yates.
Number one, I'm stunned a Major League Baseball owner actually knows how to use the Twitter machine effectively. Number two, this is the script to one of the greatest baseball movies of all time, known as Major League. I hope this fires up the clubhouse. They better get it together because they don't want that idiot being the one that was right at the end of the day. Play some baseball, and that guy was shut up.
You're known to reach out to some players in the game. How do you think this goes over in that clubhouse, Clinton Yates?
One word.
Maybe not so great.
Yates, Kalishaw, Page, Gutierrez get a front row seat to what could be history on Around the Horn. Tim Kalischuk sitting at 499 career wins. And it's main man Clinton Yates on the other side trying to stop him. Next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Only one panelist in history has 500 career wins, and that is Woody Page, of course. Tim Kalischuk sitting at 499. The rivalry with Clinton Yates is expansive and great. Let's go right now. Showdown one. Remember when the Bears posted QB1 for Andy Dalton in March? Well, here's that QB1 today.
Justin's going to have his time, and Justin's going to have a great career. But right now, it's my time, and so my focus is on being the best player I can be for this team and do everything I can to help this team win.
Clinton, how does that land for you? Andy Dalton saying, my time is now.
Tim, I know you must know what it feels like to have a young, good-looking brother looking at you in the rearview mirror getting ready to take the throne, but I'm telling you that it's already too awkward. You got to play Fields at this point. This man is the best quarterback on the team.
No problem at all with what Andy Dalton is saying. He's a pretty good quarterback when he's got people around him. 3 Pro Bowls, 4 trips to the playoffs. He's got about a month to hang on to the job before Fields.
All right, so you think the veteran has enough in him to get to that milestone. Is that what you're saying? It's his time. Mm-hmm. We'll move on. One inning last night, Padres had the Tatis home run, which was 450 feet and his 34th to lead the NL. This Jake Cronenworth inside the Parker, which in the air went about 390, but look at him get around the bases, his 2nd inside the Parker of the season. And this Tommy Pham shot, which was 486 feet, it's the longest home run of the season, and the Padres still lost to Woody's Rockies. Tim, explain it all to me.
Maybe we should be talking about their 1-5 road trip through Arizona and Colorado, but I'm going to take the last one. We're all about hitting these moonshots. 486 feet, longest in major leagues this year. Tommy Pham.
This has to be the Crone Zone. Did you see the base running? Gets around 2nd, digs, comes around 2nd, sees the sign, and then executes. That's how you run the paths, young baseball players. You got to do it. I'm the president of base running Twitter. That's how it's done.
Oh, Kalischuk denied again. Clinton Yates, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
I gotta give some props to my homegirl, Shakia Taylor. She wrote a great story for 538 about my man, Marcus Stroman, who's been getting some unnecessary hate in the media. She broke down the analytics of how he pitches when he wears his different do-rags, orange, white, black, blue. You gotta figure it out for yourself, so read the story. That's what happens when we talk about our own people. It's fun.
Maybe that's what Kalischuk's missing. Just out of reach.
It's right there.